This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yes, let's go to Ro in the O. What up, Ro? What are you doing?
Is that my man Mark? Is that my man Dibs? The best boys in town. Shout out to Kurt from the Hayward Hill.
You know what? Your timing is great, Ro.
That's my man right there.
Yeah, Kurt is on suspension for the week, so you get to use that line just for this week.
Yeah, I heard he kind of went off the rails a little bit on the last call.
Yeah, just a touch.
He Draymonded a little bit, but anyway, it's all good.
He Draymonded a little bit, but, you know, we got a real Kurt back in. Give him another week or so.
For sure.
I want to touch on, first and foremost, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. Got in quicker than what I thought I was. And it's Ro from the O, from Oakland, from the town business. I'm a diehard Warrior fan. I got on Warrior gear right now. I want to go check out Splash. I know I'm hearing y'all talk about it, so I want to check it out. But
get the nachos.
To get to my point, it's a good look, huh?
Get the chicken nachos. You can. I hold the sour cream, but you do you. Okay, Ro?
Yeah, I love sour cream, so I'm definitely going to do me.
All right.
But I want to talk about my man, Jimmy Buckets. Now, I know he didn't give us the game, or he's not giving us the game that we're looking for, that 20, 30 burger that he dropped in Miami, maybe Philly, you know, Minnesota. But we got a different type of team. And what we got to realize, he's changed our culture to some degree, brought the toughness. He brought confidence.
And
there you go. Hello?
We lost you for a second, Ro. I got the word confidence, and we lost you. But you're back. Go ahead. Keep cooking.
Okay, and toughness. He brought toughness. Look at Pop. Look at what he's bringing out of I'm so hyped. I can't even think of Moses Moody. We didn't have that before he came. And the difference, not Wiggins, he commands double teams. People live with Wiggins. If he had a good game, so be it. You know, that's more claps on Steph. Now we got Jimmy to kind of somewhat help with that. So, you know, damn, just be patient. You know, I feel like when those playoffs roll around, he don't show up. And hey, I appreciate you guys. Have a good day.
Ro, thanks,
yeah,
man.
Thank
appreciate your call. Even what he said at the end, and I know this isn't what he meant, but, like, this whole idea, when the playoffs come, Jimmy's going to show up. Jimmy's been showing up.
He's been showing up.
He's been awesome.
Yeah, at Miami, he was awesome.
See, why does your brain go there?
But I'm just trying to keep it.
Why? But why would you look at someone who's been awesome 90% of the time and your brain immediately go, oh, yeah, remember that one game?
No, why are we talking about it today?
Why would you do that?
Why are we talking about this today?
We're talking about the future.
But why are we talking about this today? It's because of what happened Sunday. That's why we're talking about it.
I disagree.
We didn't talk about this on Friday. when they were coming off a win over Denver.
It's been absolutely talked about. It was talked about when Steph had to miss two games, and everybody worried that Jimmy was not able to do it by himself, because we love it in the NBA when a player can do it by himself and he can be that alpha, he can be that dog. Let's go, man. Let's see you shoot even when you're not supposed to shoot. Don't dare pass the ball when there's something good going on. We want you to
shot it in those games.
Yeah, not all of them.
Well, like, 15 shots against Miami, 12 against Atlanta,
right?
And 7 against Houston.
With no Steph Curry in two of those three games.
Well, he had no Steph Curry on Sunday,
right?
Ostensibly.
I don't know why everybody has such a hard time processing this. If you get no Steph, you suck and you lose.
Not always.
Yes.
It's untrue.
You will go to the playoffs.
Untrue.
It's not untrue.
Well, these are not the playoffs. These are regular season games.
That's what we're talking about. You all want playoff Jimmy. You want him to be someone different when we get to the playoffs. Like, you literally just said that.
We don't want playoff Jimmy.
That's what you've been saying.
I want more assertive Jimmy. I don't want him to shoot the ball 25 times.
This is assertive.
And if you want to talk about playoff Jimmy,
and
you look at what he did last time he was in the playoffs, he was shooting it 25 times a game.
Totally different.
We don't want that.
Yeah, that's a totally different
And that's
team.
What we talk about when we talk about playoff Jimmy. We've never seen playoff Jimmy on Golden State with a player like Steph Curry.
Do you think he lacks assertiveness so far as a Warrior?
It's not about assertiveness. I look at Sunday night, and to me, he lacked the ability or the desire or whatever he lacked. He lacked the scoring punch that they needed. And yeah, you were able to get Buddy Hield, who had a good game, and Pods, he could shoot it. It was great. But beyond that, Steph was a non-factor. Draymond was terrible, and Jimmy Butler was not great. And that's where you bring in Jimmy Butler, and you brought him in to be that dude, and that's a game where you want him to be that guy, and he wasn't. And he wasn't.
No, you brought him in to literally be exactly what he's been.
Right.
But in games like that, you want him to be something more. That's so difficult to point to, like, someone comes in and they're effective 90% of the time, and then on a certain game they're not. Even if I meet you halfway, okay, he was terrible on Sunday. Can't believe the decisions he made. The idiot. He was just sitting back there doing nothing.
Yeah, again, those are your words.
I'm being sarcastic, Dibs.
But you're trying to put that in my court, and that's not what I've said at all.
You did not like what his approach was. You said he looked passive. You said that he did not seemingly. You've compared him to Wiggins. From an energetic standpoint.
Yeah, he was mostly a non-factor.
So you're going to pick on that game and say, we can't have that, Jimmy. We can't have that. And I'm just sitting here going, I don't understand. I don't like, and what that's led to is a debate about whether or not he needs to be, and this is the words that keep coming, assertive and aggressive. And all, it's like, I cannot for the life of me process how somebody would look at Jimmy Butler as a Warrior and feel that he's lacking with those descriptive words. I just don't see it.
Well, I'm describing one game. And again, you're trying to make this about his entire Warrior run,
no,
and that's not what I'm saying.
We're talking about the playoffs. And
yes,
you have
we're
said
talking
you want,
about this performance. Want, if he goes 4-for-7 in a playoff game and Steph goes 1-for-10, you get swept. So that's if Steph goes 1-for-10 and he goes 14-for-24, you might win.
So if you're good players,
do you get that? Are you hearing me?
Are you hearing me?
I'm totally
Luka
hearing
Doncic
you.
Luka Doncic sucked a big one
if
last
Steph
Thursday.
If Steph is terrible and
so
Jimmy's also bad, you're going to lose.
Yes.
But if Steph is terrible and Jimmy is 14-for-24, you have a chance to win.
That wasn't on the table. The Rockets' defense is not going to allow that.
We don't know that.
Well, yeah, we do.
We know that he went 4-for-7
by the way,
with 3 assists.
Guess what? If he goes 14-24, what happens to Pods and Buddy's numbers?
They might go down
a little bit. They're in the toilet.
Well, you might win the game.
Then you probably won't, though. You probably do the exact same thing that you did anyway.
You rely on Pods and Buddy to shoot the three because that's what you did, and they shot more times than Jimmy.
And they did it well.
And you lost by 10.
Right.
So, nice. Good on you. And Jimmy without Steph this year, what's their record when Jimmy plays and Steph doesn't?
Not great.
0-2 is the answer.
Yeah.
So, and those are games where Jimmy was...
That's not totally true because they beat Milwaukee without Steph and Jimmy played.
Okay, so 1-2.
They whipped Milwaukee's butt here at Chase Center the night after Jokic didn't play.
Yeah. And you know what Jimmy did in that game, right? He shot 11 free throws.
Great. How many points did he score?
Assertive. He had 24.
Okay.
He got to the foul line. Bro, he attacked the basket.
They led that game throughout.
He was assertive.
They led the
game
throughout.
On Sunday, he was not. He was giving up the ball, and we were kicking it out to a second-year guy.
And Houston.
And Buddy Hield.
Those are the same defensive teams.
No, but all I'm saying is you look at what Jimmy Butler did. That's all I'm saying.
It all sounds to me like a lack of faith in what he sees on the basketball court, which is crazy to me.
No one's had more faith in Jimmy Butler on the station than me. From the start.
That's not true.
It's a fact.
You and I sat there and did a show at Splash where both of us disagreed with the move.
Well, we disagreed with the move, but I was more open to the idea. I disagreed with it based on what I thought was going to be. Okay.
That's patently not true.
Laugh it off.
That's patently not true.
What did I say that
day? You had more faith in him than anyone on this station.
Why was I dismissive of the move that day?
You tell me. Why were you dismissive?
It was a contract. I was worried about Jimmy Butler not getting a contract and being disgruntled Jimmy. And when he got the deal, I thought, you know what? Great. He's got no reason to be the bad guy now because he got paid and he's out of Miami. I didn't think it'd be this good. I'm not going to pretend and say, yeah, I thought they'd go 20-3 with Jimmy and Steph. But once he got the deal, I was on board.
I'm still curious about why the money seems to be a thing on your end.
Well, the money's always a thing.
Why?
I mean,
that's what great
money makes the world go round.
Why did
Jimmy want out of Miami?
Why? Because they didn't value him anymore.
They didn't value him because he wasn't going to get an extension.
Right.
He wasn't. Money.
They didn't. But that's what he's worth. That's what a good player in the NBA costs.
Right.
They didn't want to pay it anymore.
So then what did Jimmy do? Jimmy went into full shutdown mode.
Yeah, that's fine.
So for me, like, I look at what Jimmy's done, and now he comes here, and now he's getting paid. And so to think about what he's getting paid, that for me is a big motivator as to why Jimmy Butler's now playing the way he's playing.
But I've heard you a few times attach the salary to how he's supposed to play.
Right.
And I would argue that, first of all, A, that's just what they cost. So he's not supposed to have a different approach on the court based on his salary, I don't think. He's supposed to be the best he can be. And what he's been so far, I'd argue, is probably the most underpaid player in the NBA this year. Based on what he has done to the framework of the Western Conference for his salary, I could easily argue that.
Yeah, I would say he's not even the most underpaid guy on his own team.
Well,
Moses Moody making $5 million is more underpaid than Jimmy is.
But Moses is not having an umbrella effect on the playoff chase. Jimmy Butler has walked in here, snapped his fingers, and completely changed the framework of the whole conference.
Pods making 2.8 is wildly underpaid based on what he's contributing now as a starter.
But you get what I'm saying.
I get your point.
Without Jimmy Butler, the Warriors are not even in this.
Right, but you bring in a guy and you give him $51 million.
The rest of those guys were all here.
Right. When you give a player $51 million, you're expecting him to be him. You're expecting him to be Jimmy Butler.
And he is.
And he wasn't on Sunday. Well, and that's all I'm saying.
But again, we're talking about who you want him to be in the playoffs. And it sounds to me, and you've said you want him to be someone different. You'd like him to change on some level, even if it's just tighten screws. You'd like him to approach that differently than what he has so far.
No.
And I don't really understand that.
I want him to be the player that he has shown to be with Golden State at times. Not the player that he was on Sunday. And we could run through all the games where he's been that guy getting to the foul line. The reason why they're no longer last in free throw attempts is because of him. So that's who I want him to be.
Right. And that based on the officiating in that game, I don't think that was available. They didn't want to blow the whistle that night. You've been one of the first ones to say it.
Yeah, either way.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMC FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. All right, let's get back out to you. Mike and Hayward. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
How you guys doing? You know, I was saying that Jimmy Butler is who he is. In Miami was not loyal to him. He got him to the playoffs. He spoke out against, okay? He got a round. When he deserves to get the money he's supposed to get. Okay, pay.
Ah, dang it. Mike, your phone. We'd love for you to call back. Give us a call back if you can. John Bloom, the voice of the Suns, in about 15 minutes. Let's go to Manly Man in the city. Hey, Manly Man, what's up?
Hey. Oh, not a whole lot. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Jimmy just has to attack the basket more so he can get to the free throw line, and that's how we benefit greatly. Secondly, I think if we do a high double screen for Steph to get him open shots, that will help as well too. got to stop the turnovers. That's crazy. And there was a wrestling match on Sunday and not a basketball game. I could not believe the calls. And the flagrant one that Draymond got was unreal. And I don't know if you guys have been watching, Willard and Dibs. Kevon Looney, his feet, his heels never touched the floor when he made those two threes. And tell me what you guys think about the turnovers and what it's going to take for them to win the next four games, because I think that's key for the playoffs.
Manly man, thanks. I think turnovers are obviously always key. Jimmy Butler has come in and literally made that the focus of what he's trying to avoid out there on the floor, number one. I think that that's right in line with what Steve Kerr has been trying to get across to his team for years. Turnovers are a part of Steph Curry's game because he's so brilliant. You're able to get away with some, but there are clearly times where that's gotten frustrating for the organization as a whole at times, as the team has become a roster that's less overwhelming than it's been in the past. So I think Jimmy coming in has sort of renewed their focus on it, and they've done a good job. They did not on Sunday, and it's why they lost.
Yeah. And it's not as much about the Houston defense. If you want to look at all 20 turnovers in that game,
not all
at
of them,
least,
no.
I don't know about half of them, but at least 40% of them were just absolute slop. And it was Draymond with, you know, lazy long passes. And I'm looking at some of the ones that Pods committed, just a one-handed whip bounce pass. And when you play against a good defensive team, it's challenging everything. You can't be reckless with the ball. And, you know, you played the Jimmy comments earlier, and he pointed to that, the very thing about turnovers. And so if you are Jimmy Butler, a guy who's very Puritan with the ball, you're not going to give it away a lot, then go ahead and get on the ball more and run the offense through Jimmy. Doesn't mean he has to score, but if turnovers are an issue and Jimmy Butler doesn't turn it over, then go get the ball, Jimmy.
Yep. I think that's largely what they do, especially when Steph is either not on the floor or is not hitting his stuff. This is the comment to which Dibs is referring. Asked if he needed to be more aggressive with his shooting on Sunday.
Maybe, maybe not. My thing is I'm going to make the right player majority of the time, probably like 9 out of 10 times. So if I get in there and draw help, I'm going to kick it to the open guy. But I'm not going to say that anybody scoring was the reason that we did not win this game. I'm going to stick to turnovers. You know, we had 20 of them. It's going to be hard to win in any basketball game if we got 20 turnovers.
Ooh, I buy that answer. Good Lord, I buy that answer for whatever it's being offered.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Four. I buy that answer. Maybe, maybe not. My thing is the right play. I do it 90% of the time. I like that he only said 9 out of 10, because even he's acknowledging, yeah, sometimes maybe you're going to drive in there and you probably should have shot it when you kicked it. I mean, that's hindsight's 20/20, but Jimmy Butler largely makes the right play. I completely, having watched him now play basketball with the Warriors for a couple of months, I wholeheartedly agree. I think he makes the right play. I hope he keeps making the right play. It's led to the Warriors winning almost every time he shoots up. I just don't have an issue there. There's plenty of things with Warrior basketball where we could come up with issues. Jimmy Butler's sort of conceptual approach for me is not one of them.
I don't hate what he said, but he does say maybe, maybe not. And, you know, then he goes on to say that I try to make the right play and I do 90% of the time. But sometimes it's okay to make what is not necessarily the right play in the interest of you trying to get to the foul line or you trying to pick up the scoring slack. And what he mentioned about 20 turnovers is right. And I'm looking at the game log. They are 0-6 this year when they turn it over 20 or more times.
Yep.
And I see five games where they turned it over 19 times and they're 3-2 in those games. So
that 19
or more, the 20th turnover. Yeah. You're 3-8.
Who got the 20th? Do you know? Who got the last one? Because that's who lost
know.
The game.
You know who it is,
it
right?
Wasn't Jimmy, was it?
Jeff!
Yep.
The chef.
Yep.
Down 11, 2 minutes to go, dribbled it off his leg. And I will say this about...
I remember that one.
Yeah, and it was, you know, him trying to...
Looked like a Houston Cougar out there.
Well, Kind of, and except, you know, he didn't jump and then let the ball go.
No, I think it was the previous possession where the cat dribbled her off of his shin.
Great defense. No, the Florida guy got the hand in.
Both teams played great defense last night, but my God.
Yeah, pay the under, as I mentioned yesterday on the program.
What was the number?
It was 140.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think it was 140.
Okay.
Yeah, and that thing was Ottoman. But Steph last night, 4 turnovers and... like by the end of the game, like this one I'm talking about, the 20th turnover, part fatigue and part like I'm sick of like trying to get a three. I'm going to the basket and he's dribbling it and he just dribbles it off his leg.
Yep,
it was a tough one. He got harassed all night.
It was a tough one. Nick in Pleasant Hill on Weathered and Dibs. Hi, Nick. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
We got you.
So I guess. I don't know. I feel like there's a double standard that Dibs runs for Steph Curry versus Jimmy Butler, first off. It's like when we brought Jimmy in, we were, what, an 11 seed, 10 seed? And basically, we wouldn't be where we are right now if it wasn't for him. And when it comes to Steph having a bad night, we never say, oh, why hasn't he become him? Jimmy is supposed to step up when Steph's off. If the whole team's off, the whole team's off. So I just don't see how... Jimmy's supposed to be the one to step up when everything he's done so far is the reason why we are where we are. They both get paid. They're the top two paid players on the team. So I just don't see why we always come at Jimmy, same way we used to always come at Kuminga. It just doesn't make sense to me. I can take the comments off the air.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Nick, thanks.
Get
Appreciate
his number.
It.
I'll call him later after the show. Yeah, I'd love to,
it is.
To talk to him.
No. It is... It's sort of an interesting question from the perspective of it somewhat sounds like the fans who are agreeing with you, you're only asking Jimmy to do this in select moments when Steph's not playing well. And it's like, it's not a switch that he can just flip. It's not, that's not how life works. He can't just be like, oh, Steph's having a hard night. So let's stop running the offense through him because he can't get it going. I'd argue no. You keep pushing on that as long as possible to see if he can hit one and get himself going. But B, it's not like Jimmy can just decide, okay, all right, Steph's having a hard time out there, so it's time for me to, like, activate, go find a phone booth, change outfits, and come out and take over the game. I don't think it works that way.
It doesn't, but I'm just looking for Jimmy to be the Jimmy that he's been throughout the majority of the Warrior games that he's played here, where he shoots the ball between 12 and 15 times. He's more forceful, and he gets to the foul line. And forget the fact that Steph was having a bad night, although you could see it at the half. When Steph is 1-for-3 at the half, you can kind of see that Houston is taking him completely out of the game. No matter what, they're going to make sure that they top lock him and they take him away. So come out in the third quarter and be more assertive.
Let me ask you that. Let's say you were Steve Kerr and Steph Curry is 1-for-3 at half. What are you telling your team?
I'm telling my team that Houston is obviously defending him in a way that he's going to have a really hard time. So let's try to run other things, other actions for other people.
Interesting. See, I would not say that at all. Knowing that Steph Curry is the type who can put up 30 points and a half.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to, like, we're
so
not.
So let's just beat our head against the wall to try to free him against a defender who is face guarding him all over the floor.
It's not beat our heads against the wall. It's make an adjustment to get our best player going. It's like...
But what's the adjustment?
I don't know. That's what the professionals do very well.
Right.
Steph has done this a million times in his career where you're not going well for a half and then you get it going. And I can't sit here and tell you what the X's and O's are of what they tried, but I know that my thought would not just be defeatist where I'm like, well, Steph's 1-for-3, so that's the end of that. Let's do something completely different with different players. No, like I would be hell-bent on how can we unlock Steph. As opposed to just like giving up and being like, well, we're not gonna be able to get Steph going tonight, so we have to do this with someone else.
Well, you can do both. You can try to unlock Steph while also, you know, encouraging your second best scorer to actually be forceful and impactful and try to score.